Okay, we're on Chav Gimel Amid Beis, the second Mishnah, closer to the bottom third of the page. Okay, now the Mishnah is continuing in how they used to question the witnesses about seeing the Levana, because we learned that the Chacham first figured out if it was feasible to see the moon, and then they knew if the witnesses came, if they lied or not, right? Because they would know right away what the story is. So the Mishnah says, "Case of Beit Kinsa Edim." How did they check out the witnesses to make sure that the witnesses were saying the truth? So it says, "Zug Shabbat Rishin," the first group that came, "Beit Kinsa say Rishin." First, you check, speak to the first one of the two, okay? And Machnisin is a Godel Shabbam. You bring in the older one of the two. The Amalem, we say to him, because he can't speak to both witnesses together. You're closer to the bottom of the page here. Now, you can't speak to both witnesses together because you want to make sure they're honest people, so you have to speak to each one individually. So the first group that came, they were calling the older one of the two, and they start asking him questions. What did they say? Emnum lei, they say to him, Emer tell us, Ketzad Risa Salavana, how did you see the moon? Did you see it lefnei hachama, before the sun, or la'achar hachamer, after the sun? There's a lot of, the astronomy over here. Bottom line is that the moon follows the sun, because you come up in the east and set in the west. So they asked the witnesses, when you saw the moon, was it before the sun? Meaning on, well, the Gemara's going to know what it means. On this side of the sun or on this side of the sun? To the north or to the south? Okay? Lifnei hachama or la'achar hachama? Did you see it before the sun or after the sun? The tzvein or the drema? Was it to the north or to the south? And me, the Gemara is going to ask, Lucheda asked the same question. Before the sun or after the sun, mm-hmm. is if it's north or south. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also they asked him, Kama hayagayva, how high was the moon? Because he would say, from meaning like this, when you look at the horizon, okay, and when you see the moon, so the moon looks a certain distance up from the horizon. So they would ask him, how high off the horizon did it look? Mm-hmm. And which way was it pointing? Because sometimes the moon points, because at the beginning of the month, you don't see a full moon, right? You see a little piece of the moon. Mm-hmm. Was it pointing this way or that way? How did the moon point? So he says as follows, Imamad, if the guy said, oh, and also, V'kama Yerochav, how wide was the moon? Okay? Meaning, they should estimate how wide the moon looked. I mean, how big it was. So he says as follows, Imam lifnei hachama, if he said it was before the sun, le'yamer klum, it's worthless. Why? Because the moon is always behind the sun. If the moon is always behind the sun, and the person said, I saw it in front of the sun, you know right away he's lying. Well, not necessarily that he's lying. Maybe he saw a cloud that looked like the moon, the Gemara says. We're not going to be cheshed right away. He's a liar. But it could be that he thought it was the moon, because the moon has to be behind the sun. And if he says the moon was in front of the sun, it's no good.
But the later part of the morning, the moon is going down as the sun.
Okay, we're going to see that in the Gemara. This is very... the sun goes east to west. I mean, the moon goes east to west, but north to south also. Okay, we'll soon see. So right away they knew, if he said it was in front of the sun, le'yomaklum. So once they checked him out that he was valid, let's say, they brought in the second witness, or Beit Kinesi, and they checked him the same way. They asked him basically the same question. So im nimsu devrei mechuvanim, if they're both witnesses agreed, that means everything they said was exactly the same, or more or less the same, the Gemara is going to explain. I mean, if they were a little bit off, whatever, it was good. But they do, in Kayamis, the testimony is good. So now, they have two kosher witnesses that testify that they saw the moon. So the truth is, Beis Din doesn't need any of the other witnesses. Let's say 20 groups came, right? Beis Din only needs one. So once this one group of witnesses was validated, mm-hmm. Beis Din really doesn't need anything. But nevertheless, Vishar Kol Azugas, all the other groups, Shelen Eisim, Rashid Dvarim, they would ask him main questions. Why? It's not that they actually needed them. They shouldn't leave disappointed that what? They would feel, hey, we weren't even needed. See, they didn't even need us. Why would we care? that they should come in the future. Because if witnesses feel they're not needed, why should they come next month? And next month, they might be the only witnesses, but the only kosher witnesses. So Beis Din made all the groups of witnesses feel good. Like we learned in the last mission, they gave them food, and they gave them drinks, and they, you know, they took care of them. Why had to get the witnesses to come? What? So even though Beis Din really needed only one group of witnesses, and the group agreed on the testimony, and Beis Din saw they were kosher, and everything was true, so Beis Din really didn't need anybody. Just asked everybody questions to make them feel good, that they should feel needed. Mm-hmm. And then they would go home. What?
Does the Beis Din need two witnesses, and the two witnesses have to see them at the same time, like the other eating?
No. As long as they saw the, they didn't have to see the moon together. As long as the two people saw the moon, it was good.
But you need two.
Yeah, this testimony is two. One, this is not enough. How do we know? Because it says, Achedish as Elohim, mm-hmm. plural. To Meshanar, so you need two. But anyway, every testimony needs two. Okay, he goes into a whole thing over here, which is really relevant to the Gemara. I have to read this from the guy at the bottom, because otherwise it's hard to understand the few questions of the Gemara. He says as follows, he quotes Rashi. Rashi over here says the following. The sun rises each morning in the east and sets in the west. That we know, right? That we know, Pashit, from practical. Okay. In Eretz Yisrael, which is the northern hemisphere, the sun never travels at a right angle to the horizon. Meaning the sun doesn't go straight to the horizon. Rather, the sun rises at an angle to the south. During the morning, as the sun moves westward, sun moves going westward, right, rising higher and higher, it travels farther and farther toward the south. That means when the sun gets up in the morning, it's going east, but southeast. Okay? At noon, the sun is at its highest point, and also it's the most southerly point. Right? Because at noon, the sun's back in the middle of the sky, but it's not exactly middle of the sky, it's to the most southern part. So the moon gets up like this, goes to the south. And then when the moon sets, it goes back towards the north.
More so in wintertime than summer, does it say?
One second. I think so. Then the sun begins to go down, turning towards the north as it goes westward. So when it comes up in the east, it goes towards the south. And then it like turns, and it goes westward to set, and it goes towards the north. During the afternoon, the sun becomes lower and lower, continuing to the north, eventually setting in the west. Thus the sun rises in the east, travels southward in the morning, and continues northward in the afternoon. Now, the new moon, because remember we learned there's the old moon that's leaving, and there's the new moon that's coming. So he says that the new moon follows the sun, trailing behind it. Okay? On the 30th day, the new moon, which rises shortly after sunrise and sets shortly after sunset, is very small and therefore cannot be seen during the day. It can only be seen close to sunset in the late afternoon. Since the new moon trails the sun that is setting towards the north, the moon will be seen on the sun's south, because it's following the sun to the north, so you're going to see it to the sun's south. Okay, now the Gemara has, okay, that now we can see the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question, Hainu lefnei chama, hainu letzveina. Hainu la'achera chama, hainu ledreima. The Gemara is asking a very simple question. Beis Din asked the witnesses that came if they saw the new moon. So Beis Din asked them, was it in front of the sun or behind of the sun? And then they said, was it to the north or to the south? Now the Gemara says, north is before the sun, south is after the sun. Why are you asking the same question twice? Mm-hmm. If it's before the sun, like the Gemara says, "Hainu lefnei chama, hainu letzveina." If it's in front of the sun, it's to the north. "Hainu la'achera chama," if you're talking about behind the sun, "hainu ledreima," it's to the south. So why did they ask the same question twice? Mm-hmm. Beis Din asked the witnesses, was it in front of the sun or behind the sun? Was it to the north or is it to the south? It's the same question. Why are you asking two questions for? So Amar Abaye says, no. It wasn't before the sun or after the sun, north or south, because that's the same question. What is the question? He says as follows. Where was pigimasa lefnei achama lacher achama? The indentation. Meaning, the moon goes like this. Right? When you see the moon, it goes like this. Because when the sun shines in the moon, depending where the moon is, that's how much sunlight the moon is reflecting. So the moon goes like this. So the question was, when it goes like this, the indentation is this way. Mm-hmm. The moon's going like this. Mm-hmm. If the moon goes like this, then it's the opposite way. So they asked him, where was the indentation of the moon? Was it facing the sun? Mm-hmm. Or was it away from the sun? Mm-hmm. Why? Because Imam Alifnei Achama, if he said it was facing the sun, Loyamar Klum, it can't be. Why? Because at that time of the month, it's facing away from the sun. Mm-hmm. It has to be. In fact, he has, I don't know if you can see it, here's a picture of it. The indentation of the, it's away, the inside of the moon is away from the sun. So if the guy said it was facing the sun, they knew he was lying, because it couldn't be that way. Because when the sun is shining on the moon, you can only see the outside of the moon, not the inside of the moon. Mm-hmm. So if the guy said the indentation was facing the sun, they knew he was wrong, because it can't be facing the sun at the beginning of the month. So that's not the question, was if it was before the sun or after the sun, north or south, because that's the same question. The question is, number two, they asked him, was it north to the south? Meaning, was it before the sun or after the sun? Then they asked him the indentation of the here they call it the concavity of the moon. Was it facing the sun or was it away from the sun? And he says, Imam Radafnei Achama, Abaye said, if he said it was in front of the moon, sun, Loyama Klum. Why? Because Rabbi Yechon, how do we know it's not true? So they don't only know it scientifically, they're bringing a proof from the Torah that it's also like that. Because Rabbi Yechonin said, "My dechsev, what is this that it says in the pasuk? Hamshel v'fachad imei. Hamshel means rulership, a dominion. V'fachad and dread and fear are with him. He makes peace in the heights." There's a pasuk that says Hashem rules and has a fear, and he makes peace in the creations above. What does that mean? He says very simple. Me'elam le'ras chama pigimasa shalavana. Hashem made it that the sun should never see the indentation of the moon. Or, v'leipigimasa shel keshes, nor the concavity of a rainbow. Why? He says, pigimasa shel levana, Hashem never allowed that the sun should see the blemish of the moon. The chol shadaita, the moon would be sad. Explain this whole thing in a second. Pigimasa shel keshes, why didn't Hashem allow the sun to see the indentation of a rainbow? The leilem ra'ev dechama, that the idol worshippers should say, geira komishadya, the sun is shooting arrows at those that deny his divinity. Meaning as well, it's very interesting gemara. The moon, originally when it was created the same size as the sun. Because it says in the Chumash, v'yasa shem alakim eshnei ha-ma'eris ha-gdeilim, the two big lights. Right away, in the same pasuk, it says the big light to shine during the day and the small light at night. The pasuk starts off by saying he created two big lights, and then it says big and small. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Medrash says, Rashi quotes this in Chumash. The Medrash says, today's Rosh Chodesh, by the way, so it's relevant to Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that when Hashem made the sun and the moon equal at the beginning, the moon complained. Whatever it means, but the moon complained. The angel in charge of the moon complained.
Midrash or Rashi?
Rashi quotes the Medrash. Oh. Rashi quotes it from the Medrash. What did the Medrash say? The moon complained. And he said, you can't have two kings. You can't have two bosses. One has to be the boss. So Hashem said, okay, no problem. You shrunk. The sun is the boss, and you shrunk. So right away it says, Hashem made the two big lights together. Then it says the big light and the small light, because right away Hashem lessened the moon. Now that is an embarrassment for the moon. That is an embarrassment of the moon, right? Mm-hmm. Hashem didn't want that the sun should look at the embarrassment of the moon. Now what does this mean? picture the moon going like this, at an angle, right? Now, the fact that it's not a full moon is the blemish of the moon. So if the sun would be looking, when the sun looks, if the moon is going this way, and the sun looks at it this way, all the sun sees is this. The sun doesn't see a little moon. The sun is only looking at this side. What he sees is like it could be a full moon. But if he looks at the other way, at the indentation of the moon, where the moon is missing, that's what it means. The moon is missing, so there's embarrassment to the moon. And Hashem doesn't want that the sun should see the embarrassment of the moon. But what's interesting is, you're talking about inanimate objects. You're not talking about people's feelings. You're talking about inanimate objects. And yet, the Torah is worried, Rabbi Yechonon says in the Pasuk, that the moon should not become embarrassed by the sun. In fact, it says also the same thing we find by the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach had to have a ramp. When the Kohanim walked up to the Mizbeach to bring the sacrifices, they had to have a ramp. They're not allowed to be stairs. At the end of last week's parsha, Yisrei, that we read not yesterday, but a week ago, it said, Leisale b'malis al Mizbechi. You're not allowed to have steps on the Mizbeach. So it says, why do they have no steps? So it sounds strange, but if you understand, it's a very deep concept. The Kohanim didn't wear pants, basically. They wore the long robes. So, when they would go up, if you go up with steps, it's like the step would see underneath, and it's not proper. So Hashem didn't want that it should be any form of immodesty, even though it was to stones, to the steps. Hashem didn't want any immodesty. So it says, Hashem cares, so to speak, which because it's a lesson for us. Hashem doesn't want that inanimate objects should be blemished, should be embarrassed. The same thing was with the rainbow. The sun symbolizes the Goyim. The Goyim worship the sun. The Jews go according to the lunar calendar. The Goyim go to the solar calendar. So it says, a rainbow and the sun and the moon get light from the sun. The color of the rainbow is the moon, the sun coming, reflecting the various colors. Therefore, their unlighted part always faces the sun. It says, why? He says, because when you have a bow, the angle of the bow, when you have a bow and arrow, so the bow goes like this and you shoot this way. So the indentation is always facing the shooter, or the one shooting. Thus, if the concavity of the rainbow were to face the sun, its worshippers would say that the sun is shooting arrows at those people who reject him. And Hashem didn't want that. The people should think the sun is shooting arrows or whatever.
Hashem should make that the sun and the moon should have feelings?
Yeah, obviously. In fact, Mamish connected to Rosh Chodesh, because on Rosh Chodesh the din is, we're going to read today in the Torah, Si'iri is a mechad l'chatas. There is a sin offering brought on Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what do you bring sin offerings? So one is for certain Avedis that they brought general carbon, a public carbon, to forgive general sins. But then Rashi in Parshas Pinchas, in what we read today in for Rosh Chodesh, Rashi quotes another medrash that says, Hashem said, bring the sin offering for me. I need to bring a sin offering. Hashem says, Kaviyachal, I did something wrong, you have to bring a sin offering for me. What did Hashem do wrong? He made the moon small. Because Hashem said, I lessened the moon, so to speak, Hashem says, I did something wrong by it, and therefore you have to bring a carbon chatas for me.
Can you correct it?
Can he correct it? He doesn't want to. Yeah, he will correct. No, in Kiddush Levana we say, V'ya er al Levana ka'er al-chama, k'me sha'isa k'edem miyuta. What do we say in Kiddush Levana when we say the brach on the moon? Yeah. We say that when Mashiach comes, the moon
will be the same
as it was before the limitation, and the moon and the sun will be the same.
That's to do with us.
Yeah, but it says, so why did Eibush to do it if he thought he did something wrong? Why did he do it? Because Chassidus explains that the lessening of the moon was the evil, quote unquote, evil that existed in the world, which allowed Adam and Chava to sin in the Eitz Hadas. In other words, in order to sin, there has to be an existence of evil in the world. What's that? Which allows a worse Aveda. In other words, in order to have a big crack, first you need a little crack, and then when the little crack, like we learned, talking yesterday, then when you have a little crack, it gets bigger, bigger. But if you have no crack, you can't just start off with a big crack, so to speak. So, where did it come, the ability for Adam and Ish to sin? Hashem created a perfect world. Mm-hmm. Everything was holy. Adam and Ish was in Gan Eden. So, you had to find a refined, a edel level of evil that would allow Adam and Ish to sin. So it says in Kabbalah and Chassidus, what was that refined evil that allowed Adam and Ish to sin? The fact that Hashem lessened the moon. Where did that come from? Tzimtzum Rishon. The first concealment of godliness, the contraction and concealment of godliness at the initial state, not time-wise, but in level-wise, at all the way up at the beginning, that allowed the lessening of the moon. And the lessening of the moon allowed Adam and Ish to sin. Adam and Ish to sin allowed every sin to exist. So Hashem says, bring a sin offering for me that I did such an evil, but Hashem wants it. Because Hashem wanted the sin, because then we could do tshuva. If no sin, no tshuva. And tshuva makes you on a higher level. So Hashem wants we should sin. After the fact, not before. What?
What can we learn about the two big luminaries? What can it be two big luminaries and one be bigger than the other? They're both big, but one is bigger than the other.
You're right. In the simple meaning of the pasuk, it's not a question. You're right. Because Hashem said He made two big... There are two big tables, and the bigger table... That's not a contradiction, really. But the Medrash says it's funny that in the same pasuk, the Torah is calling them big, and in the same pasuk, one's big and one's small. So you're right. In pshat, so to speak, in the simple meaning of the pasuk, is not such a big question. Because Hashem made two big lights, and the bigger of the two, it's all relative. Bigger and smaller of the two.
It's not... It's,
but the Medrash...
It's not the kind. One is the difference, and the sun is there.
I understand, but it still doesn't Hashem made it in such a way that they're equal size. Okay, now the Gemara says top of Chav Dalet. Now it says Kama Yegovaya, they also asked the witnesses how high was the moon, meaning when you looked at the horizon, how high above earth did it look? Mm-hmm. Or, and also, lying on your night, which way was it turning? So the Gemara says, Tanachad, in one brace it says, Litzvena, if the guy says it was turning to the north, yeah, then Dvarv Kayam, then he's right. The Drema, if he says it was turning to the south, Loyam Aklum, he didn't say anything. So the Gemara asks, "Vatanya ibcho," but another brayse says just the opposite. That if the witness said to the south, the moon was turning, Dvarev Kayamim, he's right. Litzvayna, if he says it's to the north, Layamaklum. Imamish, two brayse. One brayse says, if the witness says it was facing south, it's good. The other brayse says, if the witness says it was facing south, it's no good. And the same thing with north, so which way is right? So the Gemara says, this is what you were saying before, Laykasha. The first braisa that says it was facing north is during the summer. And during the winter, it has to be facing south. And, oh, you know what, at the bottom, he goes into the whole astronomy of the figuring of the difference between summer and winter, and that doesn't fit to go into it now. The whole thing of summer and winter, that in because... there are shorter days in the winter and longer days in the summer, and therefore there's a whole difference in the moon and the sun, right? Because the whole difference between winter and summer, even though the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west anyway, mm-hmm. winter and summer, so what? Why is one cold and one hot? Because of the different angles and the proportion of the where the sun is. So because of that, where the sun and the moon are between winter and summer, so it, like he says, in the summertime, the moon is supposed to be facing north. In the summertime, it's supposed to be facing south. So therefore, the Braise is not a contradiction, Because it depends what we're talking about. In the winter months, it has to be facing south. In the summer months, it has to be facing north. That's it. Now the Gemara says, Tan Rabban Rabban Alert. Now, how much must the witnesses agree? Because, listen, none of you, the Moshe, when they ask them how high was the moon, right? Somebody could say 5 inches, and one could say 6 inches. Does that mean they're contradicting each other? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is called contradicting? You're asking how high the moon looked. So, in fact, the Gemara said they used to, okay, let's see it inside. Tan Rabban Rabban learned, if one says it was two, what's called in English, goads high. A goad is a stick with a point at the end that they used to hit an animal with a long stick with a sharp point at the end. If they wanted the animals to move, they poked the animal. So that was like a measuring rod that they used in the olden days. So if one witness says it was two sticks high, and the other one says, Sholish, 3 goats high, Dvar Eidus and Kayamas. Because that doesn't mean they're contradicting each other. Because that much, you're able to make a mistake between two rods high or 3 rods high. But, Echadim is Sholish. But if one witness says it was 3 rods high, and the other one says 5 rods high, Eidus and Betela, then they're liars. Yeah. No, it was an estimation, because obviously when they looked at the horizon,
and also how tall was the person?
But it's not only that, because you're trying to figure out how high the moon is from Earth. Now the moon is thousands of miles from Earth. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're not talking how high it actually is, but in the location of the moon, because if the moon is coming up in the east, okay, and they would know how high the moon was at that time of the day, or night, rather, when they would see the moon. So we're looking at the horizon where the moon was coming up, you're looking to the east. Now, how high did the moon look off the ground?
I think what it means is that method of measurement has to do with how far you have the stick from you, the farther you have from you.
No, it was one size, I think.
No, but okay, but let's say the stick was 3 feet tall.
Right.
Okay. Where did they put the stick to measure? In other words, if I put it right in front of me, one stick, it would be somewhere between one and two sticks.
No, right. But they looked at the horizon, at the end of the horizon, when the moon and the earth, as far as you're concerned, the closest level, how high did that look?
Okay.
Now, it might be thousands of miles, but let's say it looked 15 feet. Let's say each stick was 5 feet, right? So you looked at, to me, it looked like 15 feet
above the
horizon. Now, really, it was thousands of miles, but what it looked was, so if a guy says 15, let's say each stick was 5 feet.
So it's relative to the point of the furthest point of the horizon.
Correct, of the horizon. So a guy says, one guy says it was 10 feet, another guy says it was 15 feet. So then the Gemara says, you know what, we can assume that they're both right. They both saw the same moon. One guy thinks it was 10 feet, one guy, 5 feet you could be off, a third you could be off. But if one guy said it was 10 feet.
3 feet and 5 feet.
And the example. One guy says it was 15 feet, and one says it was 25 feet, that much of a difference people are not going to make. Another example that the Gemara will say later. They didn't have watches in the olden times, right? Everything was based on the sun. So if a guy said that a murder happened at 10 o'clock. Another guy said it happened at 11. Based on the sun, no watches, obviously, yeah? The Gemara says they're the same witnesses. They're good. They're not lying. Why? Because people make a mistake. In 1 hour, based on the sun's position, you can make a mistake. But if one guy says it was 11 o'clock, and one guy says it was 1 o'clock, where the sun mamish changes from east to west, because at 12 o'clock it's exactly in the middle, then you know they're liars. So sometimes we allow in testimony for people to make a mistake in things which are normally mistaken. Now, the Gemara says between 2 sticks and 3 sticks, the goads, whatever they're called, goads, or rods, whatever, between 2 rods and 3 rods high, people make a mistake. Between 3 and 5, people don't make a mistake.
sometimes when things are, when the stories are exactly the same, that's when you know there's a liar too.
Right. Bezdin would check that out too. Bezdin would check it out. If there were two similar, it was like a rehearsed testimony, that they would know also it's not true. But Bezdin has questions that it was so hard to sometimes to practice it, you know, because they wouldn't always ask that. They would ask different questions and feel out. These are very smart people in the Bezdin. They were shrewd. They knew how to figure out if a guy was honest or not.
But the Hades don't be shrewd.
Huh? Right. So hopefully the Bezdin was shrewder than the Hades, than the witnesses.
The Hades couldn't make mistakes.
Bezdin, listen, Bezdin had what's called Siyata Deshmaya. Bezdin had Hashem's help. Right, we learned that many times. How could Bezdin accept the death penalty? Maybe they made a mistake. So the answer is, if they're proper Bezdin, God helps them that they should not make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But there are certain times you had in Bezdin, the Gemara discusses, that Bezdin had a gut feeling that something was wrong over here. Mm-hmm. See, that's the difference between secular court and Yiddish court. In secular court, if you have a good lawyer, and judges told me this themselves, if you have a good lawyer, let's speak in the OJ case, right? Everybody knew he was guilty. Mm-hmm. You happen to have good lawyers that drained the jury, such a cop, that they couldn't prove him guilty, right? In the secular court, the judges can't do anything about it. Even though the judges are saying, no, for sure the guy's guilty, right? But the guy has lawyers that prove that you can't prove it. So in secular court, it's off. In Torah law, it's not off. If the judges realized, it says in Pirkei Avos, if the judges realized that something's wrong, they wouldn't just throw out the case because of it.
So you don't have any proof?
Huh? There's a lot of times gut feeling, intuition, you know, that you have.
They couldn't rule on that feeling.
They would have to deal with.
Examination.
Yeah, they would have to make more people crazy. Okay. But the Gemara says, one says three and one says five, Eidusim Betela, their Eidus is bottled, but Mitztafim Eidus Acheres. They can join in a different testimony. Mm-hmm. Meaning, what happens if one witness said two sticks? No, three and five is no good, right? What happens if one witness said three, one witness said five, but a third witness said three or five? Mm-hmm. So we don't call them liars. Because if they're proven liars, they're not allowed to testify with somebody else because they're liars. Uh-huh. But if they made a mistake between three and five, even though this group is not kosher together, right? Nevertheless, each one of them is still kosher, that if another witness comes and says three or five, mm-hmm. they could combine with them and make it a kosher testimony.
That's the word. It says, Loma Klum. Didn't call them liars.
Right. Okay, then it says, Tan Rabbanan learnt. Ureinu b'mayim, if the witnesses say, we didn't see the actual moon, but we saw its reflection in the water. Mm-hmm. Which could be, you know, because the water reflects the sky. Or, Ureinu b'ashashis, we saw it through a lantern. Ureinu b'avim, we saw it through the clouds. The din is, Ein me'idan olav, they cannot testify about it. Because they didn't see the actual moon. Mm-hmm. In fact, we were learning in Shulchan Aruch during the week. If somebody sees a murder through a mirror, he didn't see the actual murder. He saw it in the mirror. It's no good. Because he didn't see the actual thing. He saw a reflection of it.
How would the Bedin look upon glasses then?
Glasses.
They didn't have them. I mean,
I understand. There are opinions that want to say that when you have to do certain things, it shouldn't, when you have to read certain things halachically, you shouldn't do it through glasses. But the, nobody agrees. I mean, the halach is not like that. The halach is, it's
glass
fine.
Like
huh?
Glass doesn't lie.
Glass doesn't lie. But the question is, the Torah says you have to see it. You talking about these glasses?
If I see from yes. Glass, it means
glasses.
Me. Right. The question is, did you see it, or did the glass see it?
Like the Megillah reading and Torah reading?
Yeah. But the Leperl, they don't... the halach is, it's all good. But even glasses, I mean, the truth is, the halacha is because glasses are just, me seeing it, it just magnifies the light. What do? Glasses magnify the light that it goes into your eye that you can see it better. But it's you seeing.
You could say it distorts the light, too.
Yeah, but usually it doesn't.
So is a mirror, it's the same light.
But a mirror is not the thing itself.
But it's the same light that comes to your eye, right?
For instance, one sec, if you saw a murder through a glass window, then you could testify. Because you saw the actual thing. The mirror, you're only seeing the reflection of it. You're not seeing the actual thing. It's not the thing itself. I mean, it's very simple logic. You look through a glass.
When you see something, it's a light that's coming to your eye from that person, right?
Right.
When you look at
yeah,
the
but that's called sight.
Huh?
Yeah, but that's
but
called sight.
It's the same light coming off the person passing off the mirror going to your eye.
No, because you're seeing it in the mirror. You didn't see the person.
Diverted.
It's similar to the concept when you speak through a telephone.
But that's a different thing.
Why is it different?
Because that one, it's not the same voice in physicality.
Over there, it's a mechanically reproduced voice. So this is a reflection reproduction. Well, it's not. Well, mechanically, it's not the.
It's the same exact light.
No, because no. Now you know it's different because if you have a non-electric megaphone, a megaphone, non-electric, non-battery, you could, it counts, because that's the original voice. As long as it's not an echo. For instance, we're going way off the topic. Shofar, you have to hear the sound of the shofar. If somebody blows shofar in a pit or in a canyon,
mm-hmm.
and you hear the echo of the shofar, mm-hmm. not the voice, the echo, you're not Yetzer. Why? Because it's not the voice. It's a bouncing off voice, which is not the original voice.
Reflection.
So the same thing is with this. Or both are really the same thing. If you see a testimony or the moon or murder, it doesn't matter what it is, through a reflection, you're not seeing the actual thing, you're seeing a reflection. And the Torah says you have to see the thing itself. But if you saw it through a glass, even glasses, whatever, you're seeing the actual thing. It's not a reflection. You see the thing itself. Then it says, what happens? So the Mishnah says, if a guy says, I mean the Gemara, quoting, if a guy says he saw it through, you know, the through the cloud, it's no good. Then it says, Chetz yibamayim. What happens if he says I saw half of it in the water? Chetz above him, half of it through the clouds. Chetz yibashash is half through a lantern. Also, ein me'idon all he can't testify. So the Gemara asks, if a whole one's no good, a half one for sure is no good.
No,
the Gemara says, hash to kulam et lei. If the whole moon is, if you see the whole moon in the mirror, it's no good. Chetz mi boy, half is for sure no good.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, alahi kamar. What happened? This is what it means. Not that he only saw half the moon. The Gemara thought it meant he only saw half the moon in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Gemara says no. What happens if he says chetz yibamayim mechetz yibirakia? I saw half the moon in the reflection, and half the moon I saw real. Or chetz yibam half of the moon through the clouds, and chetz yibirakia. Or chetz yibashosh is half of it through a lantern, and half through the sky. Ein me'idin, you can't testify. You have to see the whole moon, whatever is visible. Not half and half. So first the Mishnah says a whole one's no good. Then it says even half is no good. Then it says, Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned, what happened if the witnesses said, Re'inu, we saw the moon, v'shuv lo'ra'inu, and then we didn't see it. You know, we saw it for a split second, and then that was it. The din is, Ein me'idin olav. It's no good. You can't testify. Because maybe you didn't see it. You thought you saw it. But if you saw it, then it would be there for longer. So the Gemara says, "Kol heicha dechazel leva'azla." They have to see it the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't you just see it?
A lot of times, the clouds
or whatever.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, "Amabaya hachi kama." This is what it means. Re'inu me'aleinu. If we saw the moon on our own, meaning incidentally, by mistake, we didn't see it to testify. We saw the moon in a split second, just in passing. And then v'shavna l'reisim midatenu. And then we looked at it with the intent of testifying. V'le'ireinu, and we didn't see it. Ein me'idin lav, you can't testify. That means even if you saw the moon just in passing, but you didn't mean to really testify to see the moon, and then you wanted to look to make sure you saw the moon and you don't see it, then it's no good. My timer, what's the reason? So it says, Emer kuvisa de'iva ba'alma de'chazit. Maybe just saw a white cloud, you know, a crescent of a white cloud, because you didn't look at it properly to see that it was the moon. You saw something white, so you thought maybe it was the moon, when it really wasn't the moon. It was a cloud. So therefore, wouldn't be good. Okay?
Yeah.